170. Christ in me, glory to his name. This is my wonderful story. Christ to my heart has come. Jesus the King of glory finds in my heart a home. Christ in me. Christ in me, Christ in me, oh wonderful story, Christ in me, Christ in me, Christ in me, the hope of I am so glad I received him, Jesus, my heart's dear King. I who so often have grieved him, all to his feet would bring. Christ in me. Christ in me, Christ in me, oh wonderful story, Christ in me, Christ in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. How can I ever be lonely? How can I ever fall? What can I want if only Christ is my all in all? Christ in me. Christ in me, Christ in me, oh wonderful story, Christ in me, Christ in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Now in his bosom confiding, this my glad song shall be. I am in Jesus abiding, Jesus abides in me. Christ in me. Christ in me, Christ in me, oh wonderful story, Christ in me, Christ in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone. my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. Desire, and I long to worship thee. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to you this morning. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. And fill my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till shall see Christ only always living in me. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. Glory to your name. For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. I exalt thee, I exalt from the beginning. For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. art exalted far above all gods. I exalt thee, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, Lord, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, Lord. I exalt thee, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, Lord. I exalt thee, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, Lord.
We exalt your name this morning, Jesus.
Yeah.
This is holy ground. We're standing on holy ground. For the Lord is present, and where he is holy. This is holy ground. We're standing on holy ground, for the Lord is present, and where he is holy.
I think most of you know what a bond slave is, but I will tell you, a bond slave is a person who is a servant. He's serving with a master because he owes a debt. He owes such a debt that he has to work for the man to actually pay that debt off. And we're going to talk about that today, about how that we become bond slaves to the Lord. Yeah. Not going to go into all of that right now, because we're going to start out with, are we a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we? Yes, we are. And what does that mean? That means he's the leader. He's the boss. We're trying to follow him. We can only do it by the strength of the Lord. Praise the Lord. So let's ask the Lord to bless this word to our hearts. Thank you, Lord. Thank you this day for drawing us together. In your presence, we feel the presence of the Lord here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We pray that you will bless this word of God to our hearts. Father, just encourage our hearts and give us victories in our life. The word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword to the dividing apart of the soul and the spirit, and is a discerner and the thoughts and intents of our heart. Glory to God. Thank you for your word, Father. Hallelujah. So we are the servants of the Lord. I want us to look at Romans 1:1, just as an example. Romans 1:1. And you will find that in Paul's epistles, He says this one word here very often. If you read it through the Word of God, you'll find out that Paul says this of himself very often. Romans 1:1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel. Yes, so it says servant, doesn't it? But in the original Greek, it says slave. Paul was a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about a slave. Can a slave just decide to do their own will, do whatever they want to do? No. If we become a true servant, a true slave of the Lord Jesus Christ, it means there's a master over us. The Lord Jesus Christ is over us, and we're going to follow what he tells us to do, not what we want to do. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, is being a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Now that word, we know that Apostle Paul was called an apostle, which means an ambassador or a delegate of the gospel, and that he was separated unto the gospel of God. Praise the Lord. If we say, or we want to be a servant or slave of the Lord, you know what that indicates is subjection. Y'all like the word subjection? It means we don't do our own way. We don't do our will. We don't do the will of God. We want the will of God in our life. That's the only way to really grow in Christ, out of babyhood in Christ, up into maturity in Christ, is by really wanting that subjection to be worked in our life. Praise the Lord. Paul was not only subject to Christ, he was subject to the ministry that God had called him to do. He followed the will of God. That's very, very important. Let's look in 1 Corinthians 9:19. 1 Corinthians 9:19. Though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And then he talks about how to the Jews, he didn't try to talk to them like they were Gentiles, because Gentiles didn't have the law to follow. He talked to the Jews in a way that they could understand. But back to our verse 19. Though I be free from all men, Paul, of course, later than this book was written in 1 Corinthians, later he's actually put into prison, and he's not free. He has a hard time, a very, very hard life, but yet he was victorious in Christ. Yet, he says, I have made myself, and the word servant, a slave. I have made myself a slave unto all. So I want to tell you something, and you probably realize this. If you become really subject to Christ, where he is ruling over you, and you are a slave of Christ, you also will be a slave of others. Others will be in your mind, how can I help someone? And whenever a need comes up or something, the Holy Spirit just quickens it to your heart. You need to help with that need. You need to be the one that steps up and helps as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, serving other people. Serving the Lord with all of our heart. That's what it means. Can you imagine what it would be like to become a slave? You don't have any rights. You have to do all the time what someone else is telling you to do. Hard work. They worked those slaves in the early days of our country. They worked them so hard. And they had no rights. It was just terrible. Well, then how on earth can Paul say, I want to be a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ, or I am a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you really say that in your heart, that you want to serve the Lord to the extent that you give up your rights? You know, people have a hard time with that. I've heard people say that when we ask them, you know, why don't you walk with God and really yield to God? Well, I have rights. I don't want to give up things I've been doing. I don't want to do that. But the thing is, if we really want to be close to the Lord, we have to be a servant of the Lord. We have to be a slave. I'm not talking about self-efforts. I'm not talking about trying to see how many good works you can do so that you can please everybody and that you think you're going to gain brownie points in heaven. That's not what it is at all. When we yield our lives, think of Apostle Paul, how yielded he was, willing to just go and be in prison, just whatever it took, he was there. If they beat him almost to death, left him for dead there, and in the book of Acts it tells us about that. He was willing. I made myself servant to all. He voluntarily became the servant or the slave of God, a bond slave. That's what we're going to talk about, is the bond slave. So let's go back in our Old Testament to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, the 15th chapter, and we see a beautiful, beautiful portion of scripture about the bond slave. Now we are understanding what a bond slave is. It's a person who is another Israelite. It calls him a Hebrew here in verse 12 of this chapter. So it's talking about another Israelite who has gone into such debt and something, maybe some kind of catastrophe happened, and they're not able to make their payments. They're not able to keep up their land or whatever. So they have to become a servant of someone else, a slave of someone else, in order to get the situation paid for. They will work for this person. Happens to be that the term is 7 years. Because Israel was in Egypt for the 400 and something years down there as slaves, God would not allow them to just have a slave that had to work for the rest of their life. They had a right. And so they would work 7 years. And at the end of that 7 years, they had to go free. Interesting, isn't it? Okay, so we're going to begin reading. I was going to read a little before this, but I think we'll go ahead and start reading with verse 12. And if thy brother, see, he's another Israelite, an Hebrew man or an Hebrew woman, and this word Hebrew goes way, way back in history to one of the forefathers, and so we won't go into that right now, but it just speaks of another Israelite. It actually, well, I'll just tell you this, it actually means one who passes from one land over into another land. And that's what Abraham did. See, he came from Ur of the Chaldees. He passed into the land of Canaan and settled down there. That was where God had promised. So that's what the word Hebrew means. So this brother that is a Hebrew brother or a woman who's a Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee and serve thee 6 years. Then in the seventh year, thou shalt let him go free from thee. So what I was telling you, in verse 13, though, let's read that. When thou sendest him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. Thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock and out of thy floor and out of thy winepress. Of that wherewith the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, thou shalt give unto him. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this day today. And so, the bond servant, he wasn't to go away empty. He was to be gracious to him when his time was up and have him go away with goods so that he could live. Thou shalt, in verse 14, thou shalt be liberal with him and providing for him out of the flock. He was to give him some animals to be part of his pay for working for all of that time for 7 years. In verse 15, thou shalt remember that you were a bondman there in Egypt. You remember that? How they were slaves? And that's what a bondman is a slave. And he says, you were redeemed. And that word right there means rescued or to ransom. So the Lord paid for them to get out of Egypt. He paid his love and mercy and his grace upon them that they might be redeemed from Egypt. Now, verse 16. And it shall be, if he say to thee, I will not go away from thee, because he loveth thee and thine house, because he is well with thee. In other words, one translation says, he is doing well there with you as a servant. Then thou shalt take an awl and thrust it through his ear into the door, and he shall be thy servant forever. And also unto thy maidservant thou shalt do likewise. Praise the Lord. Taking an awl, making that person stand up against the door frame or the door, whichever this was, and boring that hole right through their ear to show this person is willingly working for me. He is my permanent slave until he dies. Praise the Lord. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Not many people would do that. Verse 17, then thou shalt take an awl. I read that. Verse 18, it shall not seem hard unto thee when thou sendest him away free from thee, for he hath been worth a double hired servant to thee. In serving thee 6 years, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all that thou doest. So even if he sent him away, this man or woman had worked continually for him and was worth something. Praise the Lord. Serving thee 6 years, praise the Lord, worth a double hired servant. So that's what we're going to talk about. Why did the bond servant choose to stay? It wasn't because he was beaten. It wasn't because he was given great amounts of money to stay. It was because he loved his master. Isn't that something? Verse 16, because he loveth thee and thy house, because he is well with thee. In other words, there's a blessing for him being there with you. And so he wants to stay there. Now, Israel, as I said a while ago, were slaves in Egypt. And God instructed that slaves would only work for 7 years and then be set free. So that's what we see here. In Galatians 4:3, it says, we were in bondage under the elements of this world. The slaves of Egypt, that's who we were before we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have been set free. We're in the land of Canaan now. We're in the presence of the Lord, the blessings of God, the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Spiritually speaking, I'm not in heaven just yet. You're not in heaven just yet. But in the spiritual, we are walking in the heavenly places. So we got to thinking about this. I got to thinking about it and looking, trying to find some information on this. Praise the Lord. God is good. And it reminds us so much of how we were the slaves of sin and the Lord redeemed us. Now, one of the things, why piercing their ear by the door? Why an ear? Why would they choose to do that? And it doesn't say they did the lobe. I looked this up trying to figure out, was it the lobe of the ear or was it right through the ear up here? And so we don't know that. But whatever it was a mark. It was marked on this person forever. They were forever the Lord's bond, this man's bond slave. It was a different kind of place than they had had before. Much more blessed place. In Galatians 6:17, Paul says, from henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. You know what that word marks is in the original? It's scars. Well, if they pierced that man's ear in one place or the other, it left a scar. It left a hole that was seen. And people could identify that person. Ha, he's a bond slave, or she's a bond slave. That means she's working or he's working for that master forever in faithfulness. Praise the Lord. So Paul said that he bare in his body the scars. And I looked that up and it said a mark incised or punched for recognition of an owner. So what do you think he's talking about? I think he was referring back to the bond slave. He said, I've got a mark that is punched, like punching a hole in the air. And it's a recognition of ownership. Who did he belong to? He belonged to God. And he loved the Lord so much, he wasn't about to leave. He didn't want to go off somewhere else. You know, Jesus talked about the sheep that wandered away. Well, praise the Lord. If you love the Lord God with all your heart and all your mind, as that servant back here in Deuteronomy said, I don't want to go away because I love thee and thy house. He didn't say because you're going to give me a great big raise or you're going to give me blessings untold if I stay. You're not. It wasn't that at all. He loved the master. How much do we love the Lord? Are we willing to really follow Jesus Christ and do what he asks us to do? Or are we one of those that doesn't really care? You know what the problem is? We're not perfected in love for the Lord. If you really love the Lord Jesus with all your heart, you really want to please him. You want to do what he wants you to do. So I found out by studying and working on this that in that day of the slaves and even the soldiers that were like the Roman soldiers or some group, all of them had something done to one of their ears. It showed what they belonged to. I don't know if they made a different kind of mark in their ear or whatever the deal was that they all knew, okay, he's a Roman, he's a mouse, you know, Sidonian or whatever. But it was a mark to show identification. And you know what? Apostle Paul did not shun the suffering. He really went through the suffering, and he bore in his body the marks of that suffering. You know, I don't have any scars on my body from the suffering of Christ. Neither do you, I don't think. I don't think any of us have been arrested and beaten on our back and left for dead somewhere. But hopefully we have the marks of the Lord Jesus on us. Hopefully others can look at us and see Christ and see what we are determined by the grace of God to do. Paul was a bond slave. Everywhere where he says servant, in the beginning, from moments clear through, every time he says servant, that word is slave. That's how important this is. Now, why did they have him walk up to the door and do it? Isn't that kind of a crazy thing? I mean, why didn't they just take a board and have him lay their head down there and punch the hole? They had him walk up to the door and put his ear against the door and then push the hole through. Sounds painful. Well, the door is mentioned 39 times in the New Testament. And what did Jesus say? I am the door. I am the door. Men and women go in and out of the door, he says. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall be go in and out and find pasture. Praise the Lord. So the door, what is it? It's a passageway. It's a portal. It's an opening, a place to go through, isn't it? So, praise the Lord. Go from this place right through that doorway out into the hallway. So when these people were taken and held their ear up to the door, it was like they were submitting to the plan of God in their life. Wherever the Lord leads me, I will follow. You remember the song? Where he leads me, I will follow. Are we that way? Or are we like the servant that is always pulling back and saying, I don't like what God's having me do right now. I want out of this. God wants us to be subject to him and follow his leading, and he will lead us through the right doors, won't he? And when the children of Israel were in the country of Egypt, still as slaves, Remember the Passover? What did they do? The Lord told them to put the blood on the doorposts. And they put blood on the doorposts. It's very significant. This is the, they said that, that those blood being across this way and at the top, you could draw a cross right there between that, the cross representing Jesus' blood for us. Praise the Lord. So it was one of the things they did, take him to the door and punch the hole, whatever this hole was. Why did he choose ears? Why did he choose ears? Previously ordered the priest to have a blood applied to the tips of their ears. And the same way with healing of a person with leprosy in the Old Testament. They were to apply blood to the tips of their ears. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? What do our ears do? They listen, don't they? So he's going to bore a hole through our ears to make us listen better. Become subject. You know how when you're trying to tell somebody something and they won't sit down and listen, they just keep going around and doing something else and they're not getting what you're saying? Well, the Lord says, hey, listen to me. Follow my instructions. I've given you the whole Bible to know what to do, okay? So obey the instructions. It's important to have our ears bored through. Have that place with the Lord. Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to Romans 6. Romans 6. Let's see what Romans 6 says. I think most of us know what Romans 6 says. Praise the Lord. Romans 6 is the chapter that tells us about really walking with God, yielding to God, letting our new life reign over us and all of the things. And we're going to begin reading with verse 16. Verse 16. Now, our bodies are to become the servants of the Lord. And let's see what it says here. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Now, what do you suppose that word servant is? I already told you, it's slave. Do you know the things of this world, we can easily become slaves to the world. There's so much unbelief. There's so much stuff going on constantly. And things that were very wrong when I was a child, now I'm talking about those people out there, are not even considered wrong now. That's how bad sin has become greater and greater and greater, like a great big bundle of something rolling around and accumulating stuff as it goes. Sin has gotten worse and worse. In the United States, in the whole world, things that were once thought evil and no one would even talk about them. If somebody had committed some horrible sin, you wouldn't even hardly talk about it. But he says, don't you know that who you yield yourselves, if you yield your body, instead of yielding to God, yield it to a evil thing, a sinful thing, it's like you're a slave to that. And he says in verse 17 that which has delivered you is the last phrase of that. We'll get down there in a minute. But God has delivered us from being slaves of sin, slaves to disobedience. He said, his servants you are to whom you obey. Can you really say I'm a bond slave of the Lord if you're not obedient to the Lord's word? If you are allowing yourself to be governed by the world and by evil or by sin? You can't really say, now you're a child of God, that's for sure, but you can't really say I'm a bond servant of the Lord If you're a bondservant of the Lord, you're obeying the will of God in your life for everything that you do. You're seeking His will. And He says, His servant you are to whom you obey. Whether it's sin unto death, yes, sin brings death, or of obedience unto righteousness. This isn't speaking about our initial righteousness that we are given when we are born again. This is speaking about the practical righteousness that we need to walk in as Christians. The Lord wants us to shine as the lights of the world, to shine as the servants of the Lord, and people will know that we are born again and different. But in verse 17, he says, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. See, before you were saved, you were a slave to sin. You had to be rescued. Jesus Christ came and paid the price. That's what it says in the book of Romans chapter 3, that the redemption there, that word redemption that is in Christ Jesus, it means going to the slave market and buying a slave. A slave. And you know how they did? They stripped them of their clothes and they made them stand up there so that all could see what kind of person they were physically. Horrible thing. But what did the Lord do? He came to that slave market. He came down to our level. He died that cross on that death of the cross to save us, to set us free from the bondage of sin, to set us free because we were slaves. Oh, hallelujah. Now notice down in verse 22, and now being made free from sin and become slaves. The word says servants, but it's slaves in the original. We have become slaves to God. You have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise the Lord. We have this place that is given to us because we have become the slaves of God. Now, I know you belong to God. If you are born again, you are a child of God. Some, you know, there is growth to this thing. There's little children of God, and then there's young people of God, and then there's adults of God. But hopefully, in that process of all this, we all are going to come to the Lord and say, I am your servant, Lord. I don't want to be set free. I want to follow you. I want to be right there with you constantly and following you and doing your will. And that's the way we become the bond slave. Praise the Lord. Let's look at 1 Corinthians. We're almost out of time, but let's turn to 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians 7. I'm going to begin reading with verse 21. Well, if I can get my papers apart here. India paper's nice, but it sticks. All right, 1 Corinthians 7, 21. Art thou called to be a slave? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. Now, there were literal slaves in Paul's day, and they became believers. But he told them to not buck against the system. You know, don't run off and leave your master like Onesimus did in the book of Philemon. But to stay there, but then he says in verse 22, for he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. And again, the word servant is slave in the original. That's what they had in those days, was slaves. That was a common thing. So Apostle Paul calls, if we are going to be a servant of the Lord, we're going to be a slave of the Lord. We're going to do what he says. We're going to follow his command. Now notice what it says there in verse 23. You are bought with a price. Be not you the slaves of men. Now how are we, And we're bought with a price. We belong to the Lord. So how do we become a slave of man? By following after the things of the world. That's what men, the natural men, want, natural men and women of this world. Follow the things of the world. Do the things of the world. Be happy, they say. And they're not happy, but they think that happiness comes in the world and the money and all of that. But that's not what it is at all. We are bought with a price. How much was paid for our delivery from the slave market? The Son of God gave his life that we might be free. And we can desire to be this bond slave of the Lord. We're free in the Lord. Glory to God. Even though we're a bond slave, we're not under bondage. We're the Lord's friend. We walk with him. We talk with him. He tells us what to do, and we are happy to do it. We love to do what the Lord wants us to do. That's what he wants in our lives. That's the surrender. That's really, really being what the Lord wants. And then the one verse, of course, that came to my mind is Romans 12:1. You probably can quote it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Considering what Christ has done for us, taking us out of the dungeon of sin, taking us out of Satan's control, and redeeming us, making us a child of God, it's just reasonable that we would give him our life, that we would give him, that we would come and say, Lord, I want to be your bondservant. I want to be your bondslave. Just have your way. Do you understand that a slave has no opinions? He can't say to the master, I don't like what you're doing. You know, I want to do so-and-so. See, he's submitted. He's submitted to the will of God. He wants God's will, not his own desires, not his own will. Goes the same for women. We don't seek after our own will. Praise the Lord. We're bought with the price. Peter says that the price was the precious blood of Christ. We're bought with a price. So this is what I wrote. I wrote all these things. You know I write down everything, okay? So this is the way I study. Be as the bond slave who loves Jesus so much that he wants to stay and be in his presence, having our ears bored through. In other words, I think that means to me listening. Be willing to absolutely listen to him. I'm not going to turn my ear away. I'm going to be right here watching and listening for you to tell me what you want. I know we've all had experiences with people that didn't listen to us. Our ear is bored through, and we're giving our all to Christ. We're open and hearing the voice of the Lord and the voice of the Word of God. There's a voice to this Word of God. You know, a minister that really seeks God, we seek the Lord for this Word. I don't want to get up here and just preach something to you, something off the top of my head. I could do that. I could find probably 1,000 sermons in the past. I kept all of them. It's amazing. I don't know what I'm going to do with them now. But, you know, I could go back and I could say, oh, that's good enough. That isn't good enough. So I really seek God. I get before the Lord and I pray. And you know what is so wonderful? In the night, the Lord will wake me up and give me the sermon. Does that seem funny to you? A lot of people don't even believe that, but that is true. The Lord will just bring it to my mind, some passage of scripture, and I just feel that's it. That's what the Lord wants me to say. I want to be a bond servant of the Lord. I hope that today your desire in the Lord will say, I want to be that close to Jesus. I want to be submitted to him. Praise the Lord. So we're going to sing a song. And if you want to come up and pray at the altar, you know, our altar doesn't get very much use. I'd like to see it really get a lot more use. So if you want to come up and pray at the altar, feel free to do that, and we will pray with you. And don't feel ashamed. We all need the Lord. We all are human beings. We all go through things that we have to overcome. And God is faithful. Hallelujah. We're going to sing a song.
Let's stand and turn to 271 in the Grace and Glory, 271. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow me. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he I'll go with him all the way. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him, with him. and gold.